Welcome to the Primrose Lane podcast, where we explore the actual paranormal events that inspired the making of the film Primrose Lane and the continuing episodic series The Passage. I'm the filmmaker, Kathleen Davison, and I'm joined here with our co-host for this series, Pamela Beatty.
Good morning.
Now, Pamela Beatty is a paranormal specialist, and if you've been following us, you know that already. And if you haven't, please stop right there. Go back to the beginning. It's a cool story, and you're coming in too late in the game. So go back to episode one. If you go to the Primrose Lane Movie Facebook page and you go to the most recent episode, you can look down in the comments section, and you'll find the link for every previous episode, and they're numbered. So just follow them in order. For those of you who are joining us again, welcome back. Today, we have another awesome guest. We have April Mattson joining us. Hi, April.
Hello.
Testing.
No.
Yeah, we thought we lost you.
We lost her.
April is joining us, not from Los Angeles, from another dimension. Where are you, April?
I am in another dimension for sure. I'm in Boise, Idaho.
That's several dimensions away from Los Angeles. But
yes.
And she is joined today at her side. She has a companion that you might hear, and she wants you to know you don't think that April Mattson has upper respiratory problems. What do you have there with you, April?
I have Penny, my pug.
She's got her
little pug dog.
She snores so beautifully.
My life partner and my personal assistant.
So for those of you who have or haven't seen the film, April plays the role of Crystal, who is a young psychic who has very recently come into her ability. And April was brought into the production a little bit by accident. I met her through mutual friend Curtis Mark Williams, if you've heard his podcast episode. And when I met her, I realized while interviewing her that she had to write her in to the screenplay. So that's how she ended up there. And April, do you want to share anything with us about your personal life experience or beliefs about the paranormal? And you know, where did you come from coming into this project?
Well, I'll share a little bit about that. It always feels like explaining it. It seems like such a long, strange story, mm-hmm. but in short, I guess very recently before you had contacted me, I had always been sensitive, and I had definitely had a lot of experiences, and then I had a lot of, I guess, experiences of really directly communicating with spirits right before I had met you. Mm-hmm. And I was still kind of trying to make sense of it, which is actually how I met Pamela. I just had a lot of very validating experiences. I don't know if you would call them medium-like experiences, but it was definitely seeing and communicating with spirits. And I said to a friend of mine, I need to talk to someone who has this, or it's going to make me crazy. And so she recommended I talk to Pamela, which is how we met.
And one of the things that we've talked about a little bit in this series has been this inclination for people to have what we would identify with. I'm talking about we as in the average people of the world, not the Pamela Beatty's, that we would qualify as paranormal, that when the quote average person brushes up with that, that there seems to be an inclination to go hardcore skeptic and want to completely push it away, debunk it, convince yourself that it didn't happen or it doesn't exist. Did you experience any of that? Because you're saying you felt like you were crazy. So something in you wasn't just opening the door and saying, welcome in. I fully embrace you to this experience. Did you feel a sense of that clinging to the skepticism, would you say?
Not necessarily. I mean, I've always been very open and a believer in the paranormal. I think because my whole life I had experiences, and certainly from time to time I would try to find a way to rationalize them, you know what I mean? And I would come from a place of trying to disprove whatever I experienced or somehow rationalize or justify it. And really in order for me to separate the real experiences to is my brain just sort of thinking that I'm having some kind of experience right now. But the things that were happening up until that time that I met Pamela wasn't just, oh, I was having a paranormal experience. I saw something, or I heard something. I was really opening up my own psychic abilities and gifts, I think. And that I didn't really want to disprove it so much as I wanted to understand it, I guess. And I wanted help accepting it. But I really didn't, it really actually was a relief for me. And especially that first night I talked to Pamela, because it made everything that I had experienced in my life up until that point make sense. Mm-hmm. So it actually was very comforting to me to go, oh, that's what this is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would never introduce myself as a psychic medium or anything like that, but as a very sensitive person that can pick up on things, it actually helped me make sense to me. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of a relief more than anything. And then talking to Pamela just sort of helped me realize, I guess, that I'm not, you know, the only sensitive person in the world. And and really just give me a lot of tools to sort of deal with, you know, living life on the earth, having sensitivities like that, you know, doing things like being able to make my own vibration higher so that lower vibration entities weren't so disruptive in my life. And, you know, so I guess things like that, but I never felt like, I certainly definitely have days where I'm like, I don't know, maybe it is all in my head and I am just crazy. And I think a lot of people that are really sensitive struggle with that. I mean, I've heard Pamela even say sometimes, like, you know, she'll say a lot of things and then say, or I'm just insane, but you know, it's working for me. Like, well, yeah, maybe we are. But yeah,
I always,
it's one of those things that the more you open up to it and trust it, the experiences that you have end up validating your beliefs in it, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
And that's what I found for myself, is the more that I sort of trust it and am open, I have experiences that the experience is what validates the belief for me. And they're not necessarily things I could prove or explain to people, and I don't need to. It just helps me understand things the way that I see them better. And accept the things that I don't understand. I think a big part of, you know, delving into the paranormal or other dimensions or realms or you know, generally the things that are unseen, I think that a lot of that, there's a big part of it that it's important to just accept the mystery of it, mm-hmm. That it's not all totally explainable and understandable, and that's okay.
Or that there's a reason that for some, you know, that we're not intended to have all of that awareness in
all
this
answers.
Moment. Right.
Right.
Correct. Yeah.
Pamela, do you want to add to anything that April?
No, I mean, I remember the first time I'm not like her. I don't remember verbatim everything that I said, but I just remember thinking when I found out about the film, how perfect April was for it, because it was all going on right at the time that this was all going on in her life. It was phenomenal. And it gets back to what we've talked about on this podcast before, and that is every single person that was involved in this project was there for a very specific reason.
Well, and let's touch upon that, if you're comfortable, April. The very first time that I think I had met April, probably just socially here and there because we have friends in common, but I didn't know her well. So the first time that we really connected, you came to the house for me to interview you. And at this point, I wasn't, I had no intention of you being part of the cast. I was really interviewing you to hear your personal story about these sensitivity experiences and your brushing up against the paranormal realm. And I think that you maybe knew before I did that you were going to be in the film. But can you share with us your impression as you approached the house for the first time? Because I will validate already that April tapped into things like we've talked in previous podcast episodes about the woman in the house who seemed to be present for quite a few people. And April was one of them who also, and April was even before Pamela did her investigation, which came years later. April was able to articulate a lot about this woman and that she needed very much to be heard. This need mm-hmm. to speak and be heard. And I remember when April was there in the house that she too kept touching her throat. And if you followed you know that this woman has a history with her neck and her throat. And April, I don't know that she's even gotten the answer to it. Maybe we'll share it with you in a moment here. But April, I want to give you the space. Do you recall, can you share with us what your impressions were as you came to the home for the first time or any of the things that you tapped into there?
Yeah, I remember sitting there with you in the living room and and trying to have just a conversation with you and Anthony, and we were just trying to talk and sort of get to know each other. And I finally was like, I think I said to you, I can't do this. There are so many people in the house, like spirits in the house that want to say, like, I was having a hard time paying attention to the actual physical human people in the house because it felt like everybody had something. It just was, I was so overwhelmed. And I finally said, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm trying to pay attention to you guys, but I feel like it just felt like there were so many other things that wanted me to pay attention. And I definitely remember specifically there being a woman that really, and I said, I don't remember if I said to you anything specific she had to say other than she wanted to be heard. She wanted us to know that she was there and she wouldn't leave me alone until I said that. Mm-hmm. And I felt like once we acknowledged her and you started talking about her, she backed off a little bit. And I remember that being a relief because I was just like, God, okay, we know you're here. Okay, I hear you.
That can be really annoying.
Yeah, it was just so distracting because I couldn't focus on Kathleen and Anthony. It was so distracting. So I do remember that. And I remember walking through the house and just sort of telling you what I felt. And then later, after we had walked through the whole house, you had sort of told me things that other people had said or things that you knew about the house that sort of lined up with what I had picked up on mm-hmm. in certain areas of the house. Do you remember that?
I do. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering what the experience was for you because, I mean, I'm assuming, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that it's the first time in your life that somebody wrote a role that you inspired by being you, and then you had to come into a space where you've actually had an experience and pretend to be, I mean, not that it was you, but play a character that you know is in many ways the essence of you and yet make it its own, you know, its own individual entity. And to be, we had a phone that needed to be silenced there. So what was it distracting to you when you were there? Now jumping into you, now you're cast, you're in the cast.
Yes.
Trying to work in that space, were you still distracted by the energies in the house or was there something in you that was able to kind of shut them down and look another way when you needed to?
You know, I really made sure every day that I drove to set when I was on my way to the house that I was pulling my antenna down, if you will, mm-hmm. so that I wouldn't be distracted because I had been to the house and I knew what it would be like. So I really did a lot of mental work focusing on the way there so that that wouldn't be distracting. Mm-hmm. But the weirdest thing I remember is shooting the scenes where, especially the scene where I'm sort of, you know, Crystal is like going into the bedroom and putting her hands on the bed and looking at the fireplace and sort of picking up on energy and saying things to you about it. I remember thinking at that moment that I felt like my real in-tuneness felt very real to me, mm-hmm. because when I was acting and doing it, I didn't feel what I felt when I was really picking up on stuff. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? So in a weird way, it was like, oh, right. Like, this is me clearly pretending to or acting like I'm getting some sort of, you know,
right.
information or energy pickup. And I really wasn't feeling it. I was, you know, I was in the sense like of the actor, you know, trying to be in the world of it. But I remember that being personally validating for me, because I was like, oh, this is
what it feels, you know, like when you're play acting, and the other thing was totally authentic, right? And organic.
It was,
right?
That was really interesting. And I think it was really good for me that I'm like, oh, right. I don't just get into this mindset of I'm going to pick up on energy and this is what it feels like. It was like, no, when I feel something, like I'm feeling something. And this was me acting like I was, you know, picking up on something. So, but I do remember certain times. It usually was in between setups and things like that, is when I would, and I can't remember any specifics, but when I would definitely notice some energy in the house that I was like, oh, that, you know, hello. Mm-hmm.
You know, April,
leave me alone, I'm working right now. You know what I mean? So
I just saw a picture real quick in my head, and I don't know if this will remind you of something, but it's almost like you're walking through that dining room, and then I felt your energy just kind of stop for a second. Were you mm-hmm. consciously, because that's where the portal was, were you consciously aware of that?
Yeah.
Because I can see you feeling it. And it was just a momentary pause, like, and then you just kept walking.
Yes, absolutely. I feel like that happened a couple of times.
Yeah.
And I sort of would go, okay, I'm working right now. You know what I mean? And I would...
Were there certain areas of the house that resonated for you more than others?
Yeah, I definitely remember having that moment in the dining room. Upstairs, in the kids'
bedroom.
I mean, there was a lot of places that happened. And also, I remember very, very significantly being distracted by, you know, that underneath the stair. Well, there was always traffic on the stairs. That was always really, it was like, geez, it was like a highway. And underneath the stairs, there was like a bureau or some piece of furniture. Mm-hmm. And underneath it, I remember there was, I don't know if there was an object underneath there that had a lot of energy attached to it or something like that, but it was something that it almost bothered me, whatever was underneath that thing. Wow. And that was really distracting for me. I remember that.
That's so interesting, because we've talked a lot, and we have to wrap this up because we've hit the end of our segment, but really quickly, we've talked about the overlap of the various psychic teams and investigative teams coming through, and how it overlapped with things that I had written too. And I don't know if you remember April, because April's only seen the film once. She moved out of area, and she's hearing about even the investigation stuff for the first time right now. But first of all, Pamela placed, and other intuitives placed, not one but two portals in the house, in the two areas that you first mentioned, above the kids' room upstairs and at the back of the foyer, which also gave way into the dining room area, that was where the second one was downstairs, and that the one downstairs, Pamela, is really identified kind of having the essence of a portal to hell, you know, to a very low vibrational space, which is where you're talking about, you know, below. And interestingly, in the film, and I'll just give one plot spoiler, there is a scene where we place an entity, a little boy from another era and dimension, under that piece of furniture. And so it's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting that you felt that.
Yeah, she picked up on
it. Oh, we could just talk all day with you, April, but we're at the end of our segment. We've actually gone over a little bit. Ooh, and now I've got some weird reverb. Wow. You got some cosmic exit going on, April Madsen. Oh, there. Oh, wow. We might have to patch this. Is it good? Can you hear it? I can't hear anything now.
Wow.
I can totally hear her.
What was that, Pamela?
It just, the volume, it's like any other feedback on any other equipment. The volume on the recorder just went flying upwards.
Of its own accord?
Of its own accord.
We've had lots of these fun experiences in studio.
And that's what that was.
Wow. So I'll take that as a sign that April's getting the thumbs up from the higher vibrational being. The volume is shooting up at the end of her segment. So April, where can we find you? Where can your fans follow you online in the social media universe? Where do they find you?
Well, I'm finally back on Twitter. I was off for a really long time, and I think I have to remember now, I'm the April Mattson. And I'm actually starting, if you don't go to my website yet, but in maybe in a couple of weeks, I'm revamping my website, aprilmattson.com, and I'll have a blog that you can see, because I'm starting we'll call it a creative movement in Boise. I've been working with a lot of other people up here. Not quite ready to totally launch it, but you can look at it at, if you go to Full Moon Films, Fool, F-O-O-L, not F-U-L-L, F-O-O-L, moonfilms.com/platform.html. You can get a little bit of an overview of what that's about.
And you're doing improv, you're a musician. April's got all kinds of creative juice flowing through her.
She always has.
And you're on Facebook too, right?
What's that?
We can also find you on Facebook?
I just changed my name back to April Mattson on Facebook as well. And you can sort of see what I'm cooking something up in Boise out here. There's a lot of creative people out here. We're trying to get a collaboration movement going. So,
all right. Well, thank you so much.
Look out for the platform.
Thank you so much for joining us today, April.
All right. Thank you. Congratulations on the film. And I'll be listening to, I'm going to go back and listen to all the podcasts
and,
now that I've done.
And
this.
Everybody and, else should. They're fun to listen to for a second time. Tune in next week. Thank you.
Thank you.
It won't let me go up there. It's not letting me go up. It's because I got to turn sideways. That's why.